Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes. We told you yes. Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday at noon with ESPN. He has been a busy, busy man. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I have been busy.
You have been all over the place.
It's on the go.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was good.
You know, you had to think about that.
I did. I mean, the last week has been a lot. But, yeah, I mean, it's I get a little break now, which is good. And, you know, I think, there was a good game the other night. The lead up and stuff was pretty good. I thought two good teams in the Super Bowl. It's fun to cover them, talk about them. So, yeah, it was all good.
Is it fair to pile on Kyle Shanahan or unfair?
Unfair. Completely unfair.
Okay, why?
Well, two things. The end of the first half scenario – they're getting the ball. The Niners are getting the ball to start the second half. They decide not to use a timeout there, which I think ultimately was a smart decision because when the ball was punted, if you guys remember, really should have been downed inside the 5-yard line. Pringle, the gunner for the Chiefs, he has made a bad play. So I think if you're Kyle Shanahan, you know, because you're getting a stop around midfield, you know, the expectation is you're going to get pinned back inside of, you know, your own 20-yard line. So, and if they would have done it correctly, would have really been inside the 5-yard line. So then at that point, Kansas City has 3 timeouts, and you're backed up inside your own 10-yard line. Like, there's a really good shot. You're punting them the football and giving Patrick Mahomes another chance right before half. I mean, think about the Houston Texans, you know, how that went. So I look at that scenario in that, you know, the main goal there is to get to halftime with the game tied. And they did that. And well, I'm a guy that picked the Chiefs, but when it was 10-10 at halftime, I thought, well, shoot, this current score favors the Niners, you know, especially with them getting the ball. So that'd be the first thing. Then everyone is looking at that situation with like 6 minutes left in the game when they get the ball back after Kansas City, I guess, you know, got within 3 at that point. They run it, and they get 5 yards. So now it's 2nd and 5. Well, the very next play that everyone is you know, kind of being critical of the play calling from this point on, it's a Mike Sam strong safety blitz. There's 8 guys in the box. Basically, you have no shot to run the football against that look and that pressure, and really you risk probably, you know, a negative play. Well, so they have a great play call. They got play action, which have been great for them all night. And they've got George Kittle wide open, you know, basically running on Terrell Suggs, who's a zone dropper. So they're just unlucky that the ball gets batted down. Then on 3rd and 5, when the call they play, they get George Kittle wide open again, and Jimmy Garoppolo just doesn't throw it to him. So, like, I'm looking at that sequence there, which is outside of a traditional 4-minute offense sequence. Kyle Shanahan called good plays. You know, his team didn't execute them, and – yeah, I don't think there was anything super aggressive about what they were doing. I think they found themselves in 2nd and 5 and a good opportunity to throw the football with play action like they had been doing all night rather than, you know, running, having a negative play, and then having a known passing situation to put Jimmy Garoppolo in.
So I'm not disagreeing. So he took heat as the OC in Atlanta when they had the 25-point lead because they stopped running the football. And in the second half, I mean, that's what we came in saying, the Chiefs' strength is they're obviously their quarterback and they're fast on offense, and the strength of the 49ers is the running game and their defense, especially the running game, how they've been running. And they got away from that in the second half, but you're saying that was more of credit to what Kansas City was doing on defense?
Yes, and, you know, I think so many times people want somebody to blame, and I'm not looking for somebody to blame, but Kyle Shanahan's taking a lot of heat. The truth is, if you're like, okay, what's Kyle Shanahan's job? his job is to put his players in a position to be successful, correct? I mean, that's what a coach's job is. Like, put your players in a position to be successful to help you win the game. So if I'm looking at a decision at the end of the half, well, okay, I mean, that actually worked out. Like, you know, you go into halftime with it tied and really had a chance to get some more points at the end of that half, if not for the pass interference call. So I think he gave his team a chance there. And then I look at what he did, you know, in that scenario I just explained to you, getting the ball back with 6 minutes. He calls a successful run play on first down. He calls a play that really should be a big play and get you a first down, you know, on second down. Does the same exact thing on third down, and then I even address the fact that, you know, when you get the ball back, he's got Emmanuel Sanders, you know, deep for a post who's open, and Jimmy Garoppolo just doesn't hit him. And so, look, I thought Jimmy Garoppolo for much of that game was very good. I mean, he was 18 of 21 at one point. I think he was 13 of 14 on play action at one point. But he did not play well down the stretch. And so if you're looking for somebody to blame, if you're like, hey, whose fault is it? Like, honestly, it's the quarterback's fault. Like, the coach called good plays. The quarterback didn't do what he was supposed to do.
Interesting. And we know on the other side, when you have that guy. So the question is, they have that guy, and he's just in his second full year, which is crazy. He's won an MVP, and now he's a Super Bowl MVP and champ in just his second full season. Are they now the team to beat? Is this because they have Mahomes, they're the team to beat?
Yeah, I think so. Much like we've always talked about Aaron Rodgers, like they're always going to have a chance because they have Aaron Rodgers. But I also think, you know, when you look at them, they have a really good coach, a really good quarterback, and they have some other players that are outstanding. So, you know, their speed combined with their quarterback and their coach means that offensively they're always going to be really tough to deal with. And
would you take, by the way, you brought up Aaron Rodgers, would you take Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of his career, first couple of years in, as the full-time starter, or Mahomes?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, and Aaron had some pretty good receivers, you know, when he first started to get things rolling there.
So they're that close in your mind. They're that close.
I want to take Mahomes. There's part of me that just wants to, like, try to rethink this a little bit and not be prisoner of the moment.
Right.
You know, a little bit on it.
Don't you like the team around Mahomes, though? I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers had good receivers, but yeah.
But I really want Tim to answer it more just as a quarterback. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to get into payroll and players.
But the guys around you do matter. And if you think back to them, like, you know, they really had it going with some of the guys. I mean, Greg Jennings was amazing at that point. Donald Driver was still there and really good at that point. I mean, they had a crew of receivers that were outstanding, much like the Chiefs do. In terms of, yeah, I think they both do, you know, I mean, guys are currently doing stuff, and this was the case with Aaron. They do things where you're like, oh, my gosh, like, I watch all of these other quarterbacks and other guys aren't doing what that guy is doing. I think they both fit that mode. I'll tell you another guy who, you know, everyone's saying, like, hey, we've never seen this before. I just don't know that that's totally accurate. I think we just forget sometimes. Like, Brett was doing this. When Brett Favre was at his best, this is what Brett was doing. It really is. So, you know, I think we have seen it before. You know, obviously he threw 50 touchdowns, you know, two seasons ago. Brett never did that. But, yeah, I think that it's hard to say. The thing that has probably surprised me the most is Mahomes' ability as a runner is way better than, you know, I thought that it would be. I mean, he didn't run a fast 40 time. He didn't. But when he gets out there, it's like he just, you know, is competing at a level that, like, whatever it takes, he's able to do it.
Isn't that interesting? I'm always – we had Pat Sperduto on yesterday, who used to be the Nashville Cats head coach, both stints here back in the day for Arena Football League. He used to be on the Titans stuff. He's been with the Chiefs now as a scout for over a decade. He lives here and his family in Nashville. He's a big friend of the show. I've known Pat a long time. He is a very, very close friend of mine. And isn't it interesting, kind of the inner workings, because you understand that. Like, the Chiefs identified Mahomes, and they traded up to get him. And you just wonder at, what, 10? And you just wonder, like, why did anybody else feel, you know, like, what did they see? It's interesting because you're like, you know, he wasn't the fastest. Like, some guys you just know, right? You just know they're going to, like Joe Burrow, like, there's nothing to talk about. He's going to go number one, and that's that. But Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City traded up. They identified him as the guy, and they had Alex Smith. They had come off a big season of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can nobody else, like, I wonder why nobody else was saying, oh, my gosh, we've got to have this kid at Texas Tech. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, I'll tell you, because I watched him, and what they were doing offensively, you know, and kind of the success and lack of success they would have at times, and some of the things that he would do in college would make you wonder how good he would be in the pros. So, you know, they are in that, like, they are in, like, the truest form of, like, a college spread. Like, you know, pass protection-wise, they're just cutting a lot of the time. I'm not sure they're identifying anything. He's throwing a lot of balls that are, you know, that are at the line of scrimmage. He's, you know, he's got a bit of a wind-up while he's there. He would make some throws. Like, he's got a couple throws where he's running around and then he launches it down the field, and you're like, wow, you can see this guy's really talented. But then he has plays that he does that, and then he throws an interception. So, you know, there, his college tape definitely has some, like, Sports Center highlight plays. But, like, you get some not top tens in there, too. You know, it just – that is the reality of that situation. I think people sometimes forget, like, he goes to Kansas City. He gets coached by the guy that's probably been as good as anybody ever at coaching quarterbacks, doesn't play for a year, watches a guy play who – is, like, as technically sound as just about anybody that plays the quarterback position. And I think the improvement from the time he left Texas Tech to the time we actually saw him start, you know, an NFL season, there was a lot of growth. Like, I don't think that it's fair to, like, what Andy Reid and his coaching staff have meant to him, you know, to not acknowledge that. And I've said this to you guys before. Just think about this and name me another coach who's had this type of success. He's won with Donovan McNabb, won with A.J. Feely and Coy Detmer, won with Jeff Garcia, Michael Vick, and Kevin Cobb, won with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Like, name me another coach ever that has won with that many different quarterbacks.
Mm, wow. I'd have to think about that. That's a really good question. Like, to, I mean, that level, because those guys are not, you know, those are not eye-popping guys. Yeah. I mean, Donovan McNabb was a really good quarterback. I mean, he wasn't.
I mean, listen, he went to a Super Bowl, 3 NFC championship games in a row. Like, they were amazing with Donovan. And when Donovan broke his ankle, Coy Detmer came in and won games. And then when Coy got hurt, A.J. Feely rips off 5 wins and then gets a big contract to play somewhere else. And then, you know, Donovan's hurt again, and what do you know, Jeff Garcia, who was terrible in Cleveland and, you know, wasn't good at that point, he's playing in playoff games. And then Michael Vick comes out of prison, and, you know, he's back to doing things that people are like, no way. Are you seriously? You're getting the best out of Michael Vick? And Kevin Cobb ends up getting a big deal because of how he played for Andy.
Kevin Cobb.
Gets Alex Smith. I mean, it's crazy.
Hmm. So Mahomes is a system quarterback, according to you.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's just quarterback, but I think that, like, what happens is you take a guy that's really, like, amazingly talented, and then you put him with a coach, and this is what Andy does, and if more guys knew how to do it, it'd be amazing. But Andy runs the same plays. Like, he runs plays that he's always run, But what he doesn't do is he doesn't, like, force a quarterback to play a certain way for him. Like, he understands that, like, there are certain principles that can't be negotiated. But beyond that, like, he wants the quarterback to put his own personality into the offense. Like, he really wants that. And so that's the only way you get guys that are that different that he's coached throughout his career to play as well as they've all played.
All right, we'll come back. More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. We'll get into some off-season stuff, some things we've been batting around with the Titans. We'll do that with Tim on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every Wednesday. So Darren and I were talking, Tim, before you came on about This is going to be an exciting offseason for the NFL. It's not just the Titans. The Titans obviously have a lot of moves that they need to make, but the NFL overall, there are some big names that are going to be available. And I'm curious, as somebody that has gone through the whole process of signing with a new team and moving your family, I mean, is this sort of thing good for the league to keep some of the big players moving around?
Yes. And no, I mean, I think ultimately free agency has been good for players. It creates an off-season story for fans. It generates year-round excitement. And I think that for many of the players, it's a good thing because, you know, sometimes you're kind of forced to leave because, you know, a team, you know, decides that they need to spend their resources elsewhere and a guy can go somewhere else and make a lot of money and look at, you know, the goal for so many players. I think that stuff is good. I think the downside of it, I guess you would say, is that I think there are some guys that would like to stay, you know, where they are, but in some ways are almost, you know, forced to leave because, you know, a team just decides, you know, it's better to, you know, not pay a running back or whatever, you know, the case may be. So, but I think at the end of the day, I think it really is a good thing for the NFL on a whole. I think for the players on a whole. But yeah, like there are certainly some bittersweet moments for guys that, you know, get off to a good start with their career at a certain team and would like to stay in place, but a team just decides to go another direction. And you know, we've seen that play out a bunch.
When you look at the rosters as currently constructed before free agency opens and the draft and all of that, can you identify a team that could be this year's San Francisco that had a big injury and so therefore they weren't very good, but they have the roster in place that with a tweak here and there, they'll probably be right back?
So a team that was struggling. You know, I don't know that I would say like a team that I think was struggling that is, I don't know.
That's close.
Panthers, maybe. I mean, you know, maybe you say the Carolina Panthers just because, you know, their quarterback play was such a roller coaster. In Denver, if Drew Locke turns out to like, you know, really improve from, you know, what we saw a year ago, like that team could look differently. So I look at those. And then I think the team that was the most banged up team that got a lot of coverage was certainly the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, I think you can look at those teams as teams that, you know, either had injuries or kind of some uncertainty at a specific position that could have a decent turnaround. I don't know which of those teams, you know, the Eagles obviously had more than four wins, as did the Steelers.
Did you leave the Pittsburgh off for a reason, or did you just...
Well, I just think like Pittsburgh, I think I've said this to you before, I think Ben's done. Like if Ben's not done and he comes back and he's fine, then yeah, I mean, look what they did, you know, bouncing between, you know, Rudolph and Duck Hodges. Like think if Ben, you know, who had his best year ever in 2018, think if he was healthy, like they would have been a playoff team.
Connor was hurt a lot. Juju was hurt a lot. I mean, they were littered with injuries.
But I don't think that Ben is, I think Ben's done.
What about a team like the Chargers? Obviously, they're going to have to figure out who's throwing the football, because I don't think it's – they pretty much said it's not going to be Phillip Rivers. So whether they're signing one of these free agents or they're going to the draft and starting over, is the roster around the quarterback good enough, or do you think that they're kind of entering that phase of they're going to be rebuilding as they start play in a new stadium?
No, I think they have a really good roster. Their defense is awesome. They've got very good wide receivers. They probably can, you know, get better along the offensive line, but the quarterback remains the issue. And you know, I think it's one of the reasons I think so many people have linked Brady to the Chargers is because, like, that's a scenario I think that, like, he probably makes them better. I mean, I could see that happening. It could really – and then – yeah, you know, it was interesting. I was on NFL Live with Damian Woody, who obviously was a teammate of Brady's in New England and his center for a few years. And, you know, Damian is convinced. He's like, look, this is not a football decision for Brady. It's just not. This has nothing to do with football. This has to do with his family and TB12. Like, that's what is driving this decision. And I think Damian's right. So if that's the case, then, yeah, the Los Angeles Chargers getting TB12 on the West Coast, you know, and being in L.A. is probably the direction that makes the most sense for, you know, those types of decisions.
Now, and you've pretty much said that you thought he'd go back to New England, right? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just – but you kind of felt –
yeah, I think the best match for him in terms of a team that – but from a football perspective, the best match for him is New England. And the best match for New England, because let's face it, if you're New England and you're like, I don't know what we want to pay him, and, you know, we're not just going to, you know, give him whatever he wants. But if you're New England, it's like, okay, it's not Brady, then who is it? Like, is it Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton? Like, who's your quarterback? So I think the best match for both parties, you know, is each other. So I do think I've said, you know, I think Mr. Kraft overrides it and whatever, and I think if he plays, he's back in New England. Now, I have also told you I think there's a 0% chance he comes to Nashville, but I think that there's a much better than 0% chance that he ends up with the Chargers.
Okay, so what, 5%? 10%?
No. I mean, I think that there's a...
Because I think L.A. is a good fit for him too, Tim. So I'll say,
yeah,
I agree.
I don't know
you.
That I'd put it at 50%, but I think there's a real chance he ends up with the Chargers.
I think
that's the best match other than New England.
Okay, and I'd agree with that. And I think the question that I haven't asked, I don't know if you've asked it, what does Belichick think in all of this? Because we want to say that Tom would consider leaving because he wants to prove that he can do it without Belichick, and it's not necessarily the Patriots. It's all about Bill and Tom. Where do you think Bill's head is at on all of this?
I think that he is just cold-blooded about these situations, in that he's not affected emotionally about what you've done in the past or any of that stuff. I don't think that he is. I don't think he. I think he cares one bit about that type of stuff. I mean, so I think that's the holdup on this. I think Mr. Kraft would love to have him. You know, he said as much. I think that, you know, there's a huge element of Brady. I mean, you've been somewhere so long. I mean, just in terms of, you know, not being able to, not having to do stuff in the off season because you walk in and you know every. You know, every term in the offense, and you're comfortable. You can, like, Tom Brady can pay, you know, be the Patriots quarterback with his eyes closed. And so I think there's an element for Tom that's super easy with that. And I still go back there, you know, Brady's father did an interview during the football season and people were asking him about Tom's future. And Brady Sr. basically said, well, it's up to Bill. It's up to Bill. And if you just kind of go back over time where, you know, Brady's father has spoken out a bunch throughout different periods in time throughout, you know, Brady's career. And he usually is given us a pretty good window into you know, Tom's perspective and what's really going on. And so I get the sense that Belichick isn't completely crazy about re-signing him at whatever price Brady wants to be at.
So real quick, looking at the Titans, I mean, we've talked over and over again about what they need to do free agency-wise, but another move is replacing Dean Pease as defensive coordinator, and right now the signs are pointing that Vrabel is going to hold that title as the head coach and the DC. Knowing what you know from the past 2 years of Vrabel as the head coach, you think that is the right move, or should he bring in somebody else to run the defense?
I think it's the right move from the standpoint of, you know, rather than just putting somebody in that spot that you don't really want and trust, rather than doing that, then, you know, you just take a more hands-on approach and, you know, maybe groom somebody that is ready to do that in your mind. And so I think when you look at how the offense progressed and got better, you know, I think the team is in a much different scenario going into next season where, you know, Vrabel, I think, can say, all right, Arthur Smith, like I'm going to leave you alone. Like, you got that on that side of the ball, and be less hands-on on the offensive side of the ball and be more hands-on on the defensive side of the ball. So I think because of the success on offense this past year, you know, I don't know that – I don't believe that it's a bad scenario.
Okay, college football analyst – expert.
Okay.
Who's the next Michigan State coach?
I don't know the answer to that. That one's surprising. And, you know, from the people I've talked to, it seems to think that, you know, this isn't I've just decided to resign. You know, I'm not reporting anything on this, but, like, the timing is beyond bizarre, especially after a big payment, which he received 20 days ago. So, you know, I don't know. It was interesting to see Luke Fickell's name come up. Speaking of guys that Vrabel's tied to, see his name come up for it. And I know that he turned down a bunch of interviews to schools that most people would think, you know, was a step up from Cincinnati this past cycle. Michigan State job, I think, is a pretty good job. So be interesting to see kind of if they go that direction with him, or at least try to go that direction.
Interesting. Who's after Burrow? Is it Chase Young? Is that – you think that's a
– Yeah, I'm Chase McCabe. With that. You made a comment about, like, hey, everyone's sold on Burrow, and I think that by and large that's 100% true.
Well, I didn't say everybody. There only needs to be one team sold on him, and that'll be the Bengals.
Yeah, no, you're right. But here's what the interesting thing with Burrow is that, you know – we've seen guys. The thing about, you guys remember it with Jake. Jake has an amazing, you know, year in college, comes back to school, and then doesn't have a great year. Still ends up being a top 10 pick, right? So you can take a guy that has a great year and follows it up with not a great year, and he still ends up being a really high draft pick, right? Well, what happens with a guy that does the reverse of that? Has an okay year and then has an amazing senior year. Like, who is the guy? Who is he? Is the guy his last year? Is the guy, you know, his second to last year? Same thing with Jake. Who is Jake? Second to last year or his last year? Like, which one is he? And so, that's going to be a question that people are asking. Bengals are not, you know. With Burrow, like, there's legitimate. I sat with McShay and Kuiper yesterday, and look, they think he's going to be the first overall pick, but they don't think it's. They do think there is legitimate concern. Like, people have commented to them about, you know, how you don't really know.
Interesting. I know you guys are going to carry some of their games. You're a part of the networks, I think ABC and ESPN. We'll leave it with this. XFL, is there a reason we should devote our time? Is this going to make it? It's hard to get on board with these new leagues, because they're here one day and they're gone the next. So should we invest anything into XFL?
Here's what I'd say.
Is that an unfair question to you as someone who's employed by ESPN? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I've told you guys before, I've benefited from NFL Europe. I hope that this works.
Yeah.
I hope that you know, guys get another chance through this. And I would just say this, you know, I had a couple really people very close to me that worked in the AAF, and there's a bunch of reasons that that didn't work, primarily financially. And, you know, there were some things that were working really well for those teams at AAF. So, you know, the financial component is very different in the XFL. Coaches and players are making less than they were in the AAF, and it's funded better than the AAF was. So I think on that alone, and broadcast partners and all of that, it's going to last longer. Like, this is definitely going to be longer than 1 year. And I think because of that, yeah, I mean, look, there are worse things to be watching on Saturday afternoon, that's for sure.
Okay. Tim, always appreciate the visit. Have a great week, and we'll do it next week.
Cool. See you guys.
Hey, right. Tim
Hasselbeck, every Wednesday at noon, and we always enjoy his visits. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.